Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So what is funnier, mountain ranges or forests? Anybody? Mountains, of course, because they are hill areas. There we go. Thank you. And why did the waiter climb the mountain? He heard there was a big tip. There we go. I know. It's only going to get better from here. I will let the rest go to our professional comedian in just a few minutes. If you came to church thinking that the comedian was going to do everything now, I apologize. I'm not as funny. But we are going to get into the Word of God for a moment here this morning. And we just wrapped up our identity crisis series. So if you've been coming to our church at all, we've been talking about our identity in Christ. And I hope that you have really grown in your faith. I encourage you to go listen to the podcast if you've missed a sermon. I think they're all up there now. We got a little behind on the podcast, but I think they're all up to date now. But we got to hear from Pastor Pat, Pastor Rod, who is actually at another church for the entire month of March. We got to release him over there, and he's taking care of a church for someone while they're out. So just keep Pastor Rod in your prayers. He sends his love. And in a few weeks, my parents will be back. That was who that was, if you don't know who they are, Pastor Tom and Jordy. So we've been on this journey of discovering who you are in Christ. And how many know that it takes a little bit more than a month-long message series to figure that out, right? I was going to say, like, I'm glad we did our identity in Christ, got to check that out of the way, now we're moving on. That's not exactly how this works, right? So really, we always talk about who we are in Christ, who God is here, but we did spend a month focusing extra on that. But now, we're moving into our series called Elevate. And Elevate is based on what Pastor Ryan Bastris will be ministering in a couple weeks. And I asked him, what's on your heart for our community, for our area? And he felt like we were called to elevate our thinking, to keep our eyes on Jesus, and that God wanted to just lift us higher in who he is. And so that's what we're focusing on this month. How many know that when you're on the journey of discovering who you are, that you realize that you were made more than what this world is around you, right? You were made for more than what you're just looking at. Have you ever woken up and just been like, isn't there something more going on here, right? And approximately, so hang with me on this if you're newer, but approximately 18% of Americans got high at least once in 2019. That's a pretty big percentage if you count that before 2020, right? I didn't even look at that percentage. But people don't want to live low. And whether that's drugs or it's screen time, which can raise your dopamine, or whatever it is, whatever way of escaping or trying to get higher than the reality around you, humanity is obsessed with trying to do that. And I looked, of course, to nature. Mount Everest peak is the highest altitude, is 29,000 feet. A little bit higher than that, actually. It was some decibel, but I wasn't going to go there. But it's 29,000 feet above sea level. Has anyone been to Mount Everest? I'm assuming not, but I want to honor. Whoa, you've seen it. All right. So ask her any questions. Apparently, she needs to preach again this month. The highest I've ever been is, I think, 6,900 feet above sea level, which was on Mount Pilatus in Switzerland. And it was really cool. Has anyone ever been to the Alps or anything? Awesome. So we have a couple. That's fantastic. Pastor Brian, I don't know, didn't you go to the base of the Himalayas or something? So it's really cool. Or Colorado. I hear Colorado is good if you're all American. But the point is, when you see a mountain like that, you see something that is so much greater than anything around you. It's like reality stops. And when I was in Switzerland on Mount Pilatus, we like took the cable car up. This is when I was a lot younger. And then we actually got to sled down, which was super cool. I highly recommend it. It was on one of our mission trips to Israel that we got to do a layover there. But on the top of the mountain, you're above the clouds. And it's like reality is suspended. You can get a sunburn in the snow. Like, that's not the reality I know out here very well, right? And it's like, it's so quiet. It's just like Earth has stopped spinning. And it says in the Bible that we are seated in heavenly places. And I know that it's hard to think about it that way in our daily life, but that's the actual reality. We're on Mount Pilatus or we're on Mount Everest, and we're actually above the clouds. And so that's what we're talking about today. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind, and that word mind means attitude or purpose or view or intellect, on things above, not on earthly things. So, of course, the question is, how do we do this? And today we're talking about one-third of the kingdom of God. One-third. Now, this is supposed to be a mini message, so I really decided to bite off something rather enormous in less time than normal. But one-third of the kingdom of God. Does anyone know what one-third of the kingdom of God is? No? Okay. So, according to this scripture, Romans 14:17, it says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there's probably more ways to look at the kingdom of God, of course. But according to this, it's one third of the kingdom. And I think that's pretty powerful. Pardon the J, but how many know that sometimes when you have joy in your life, it's a little crooked because life isn't always telling you to be joyful? Is that true? I know that's a fact, right? That, and we, for the love of everything, can't figure out how to straighten that out. But if you think of that, please straighten it later today. But I love the Sherpa people. Everyone say Sherpa. I don't know if that's how you pronounce that, but I want to respect them. They live in Nepal, and they live on that high mountain range. And they are noted for having more stamina for hard work and more endurance and strength than any other people. And why is this? It's because they live in the high altitude. So that it's like they're constantly training their body. And so I loved that metaphor because it's like when we live in the high places with God, when we aren't consumed by what we see around us, consumed by the news or consumed by our problems or whatever it is, and how many know those are very consumable things, right? But when we aren't consumed by that, we have a strength and a stamina to endure things that we could never endure otherwise. Are you following me this morning? Some of us have been feeling weak and discouraged, and it's because we are living down here instead of realizing that Jesus died on the cross so that our identity in Christ would be so strong and we could live high above, right? So ever since marriage, my furniture has gotten really cozy with weight racks and other like dumbbells because Brian loves to work out. And it was actually a real problem because I can't move most of the stuff. So once it's there, it's like that. There it is, right? And so if you ever see our living room, he literally has a weight rack that's like this big. And anyway, it's outside right now because we couldn't handle it. But I couldn't move it. But Tom Stoltman, if you're into that kind of thing, he's the strongest man alive, I believe. I could be corrected. If you have more fun facts about strongmen, you can go to Brian. As of 2022, Brian says as of 2023, I'm working out for that. But it's in the nature of humanity to be strong, right? If you look at animals, it's like the strongest animal wins in the fight. Or in high school, the strongest gets picked for the team. Who is always picked last, right? You don't have to raise your hand, but I was always picked last, even for basketball. And I'm like, I'm really tall. Why am I always picked last, right? I wasn't the strongest. I'm okay to admit that. But the strongest win, and maybe in your job, it's maybe the strongest mind or maybe the strongest will because you're surviving through all the coworkers, right? And all of that. But strength matters in humanity and it matters to Jesus. But of course, his power is made perfect in our weakness. So it's not the same kind of strength that we think about. And if when we think about it that way, we get all messed up because if you're trying to strive and be strong in your own power, it's not by force or by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, right? So in Nehemiah 8, it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I love that word strength because it means defense, protection, safety, and stronghold. How many have ever prayed against strongholds, right? If you're an intercessor, you'll know what that word is because you're binding the stronghold, you're breaking the stronghold, whatever it is, and that's good. But maybe you haven't ever thought that joy could be a good stronghold. Not all strongholds are bad, right? And so the joy of the Lord is actually our safety. It's our defense. It's our protection. And I don't know about you, but I find it very easy to feel unprotected when I get down low. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's like you start thinking lies about yourself and it's just like the whole world can crumble. And so I believe that's why God is saying the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like here in three ways. But I also just want to do a disclaimer because joy isn't held back for anyone due to any physical or mental health issues. And I think this is very important because one third of the kingdom of God is for everybody. So joy isn't a feeling, it's a perspective. And I want to put that out there because no one here is discounted from that. It may feel different or it may be different for you or for me, but it's available to us. Amen? So we're going to break down the word joy here real fast, and then we're going to laugh and actually experience some joy. So J, everyone say J. I saw a video that said churches that say repeat after me are really annoying, so I apologize if you find that annoying, but that's how I stay awake with you this morning. So J, your joy is determined by what you are joined to. How many have ever heard it said that who you marry is one of the most important decisions of your entire life, right? Now, if you're married, raise your hand and smile, right? There we go. All right, there we go. Got some grins. If you're not smiling, it's all right. We'll help you smile in a minute. But it's because what you join yourself to and who you join yourself to affects every area of your life. Have you ever been around somebody and it feels like everything's just going lower and lower? Maybe you started in the mountaintop and by the end of your coffee with them, you're like, whoa, we just sled all the way down the mountain in Switzerland, right? And so who we join ourselves to matters, but more importantly, what we join ourselves to. And many of us have joined ourselves with low beliefs, and that's why we're not changing. Have you ever tried like every subscription, every video you've watched on the subject, and you're like, I will change, I will stop this bad habit, and you can't change? Has anyone ever been there? I have definitely been there. And it's like, I'm changing my routine, I'm changing what time I get up in the morning, I'm changing what book I'm reading, but if I never change what I am believing, what I am joining my mind to, I'm never going to change. And it says in Romans 4, and so Abraham became a father of many nations and then believed it. No, thank you. I got one no. Someone's reading their Bible this morning. Quite the opposite. It said, against all hope, Abraham believed, and so he became. Many of us like to become and then believe. In fact, I would say all of us, unless you're some superhero, right? But most of us like to become. It's like, well, when my marriage with Brian becomes better, I will believe it can be better, or I'll believe he's a different person, or I'll believe I'm a different person, right? And we like to become before we believe in Christ. That's what God calls us to. Some of us are more joined to our past dysfunctions than the promises of God and the truth of God over our lives. And so we're not changing because we're joined to the wrong thing. Are you following me this morning? You won't ever have consistent joy until you change what you believe. Your marriage can't change. Your future can't change. What are you joining yourself to this morning? And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, just to be clear on that. It's not magic. But it says to have faith in God, right? To have faith like a mustard seed. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. If I believe I'm unworthy or things have to be perfect or resolved to have joy. Anyone there? It's like, well, I'll have joy when everything is perfect. I've definitely been there. How about all my prayers, or even just one, this one big prayer has to be answered in the way that I want it to be, of course, to have joy, right? Anyone there? How about my husband has to change, or my wife has to change, or my kids have to change, and then I can have joy today. Anyone? I'm the only honest one here. I'm glad. All right. How about only someone else can make me joyful? That's a big one. I am 97% extroverted, and that means you can attest, my husband can attest, I was like, I had a rough day yesterday, actually, because I found out someone had died earlier in the day that I didn't know had passed away, and so I was with one of the family members, and so we were driving to pick up Darren, and it was very, very late at night, but I was okay, but I was like, I was really tired. And then after we dropped Darren off, I was talking a mile a minute, and Brian was like, there's that extrovertedness. There it is. You just woke up, right? And so if you're extroverted, that's very easy to believe. It takes someone else to make me joyful, right? Now, if you're extroverted, there's a little bit of truth to that, but we can't be dependent on others, right? So my question to you in the J category is, what am I believing about God? What am I believing about myself? And what am I believing about my situation? Do a fact check against the word of God. Because if you can't access joy, then you might be believing a lie in there. And it's time to get God's truth. And we get those lies sometimes from our past, sometimes from trauma. Sometimes we need someone to help us walk through the breakthrough. And there's grace for that. But those are the three questions to ask. Number two is O. Everyone say O. Oh, J-O, are you seeing your situation as a problem or as an opportunity, right? Who knows the song, Oh Come and Magnify the Problem with Me. Let us exalt the issues together. Anyone know that song? It's a very popular 90s song, right? Definitely not. It's Come and Magnify the Lord with Me. How many have come to church, though, and that is exactly the tune you were singing? Like, you had a bad car ride, you had a bad night, and you're like, we're going to come and magnify the problem together. In fact, it's so much that you can't even get into worship because it's just like, it's right there. Has anyone ever been like that? I have definitely been like that. When you see me on stage and I'm like, Jesus, you might think I'm being really spiritual, but really I'm just trying to push through the magnifying glass that's on the wrong object, right? Do whatever it takes to worship Jesus. But that's because joy can sometimes be like Barry Sanders from the NFL. He was apparently one of the most shifty running backs, right? It was very hard to tackle this guy. And joy can feel like that. 8:30 a.m., you wake up and you're like, man, I got all these fantastic things scheduled. And then suddenly all your opportunities turn to problems by 9 a.m. And suddenly you're trying to tackle that joy as you're drinking your coffee. Anyone been there? But it's clear the joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. And again, it's one third of that kingdom of God, according to that verse. It says in Psalm 16, His presence is fullness of joy. Good tidings of great joy for all people in Luke. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, Romans 15. These things I say to you so that your joy might be full, right? We're not talking cup half empty or half full, but absolutely full, right? That's in John. So when you see your situation as an opportunity for God to move, you get joy. And I'm not trying to make a happy-go-lucky message here. Most of you know the story, but a few months ago, one of our pastor's spouses passed away, and I was there the moment that she passed. And obviously, it's not like you're not telling jokes at that point, right? And we had known she was going to go for a while, and we're sitting there, and we started singing the Ain't No Grave song. And if you don't know that song, it's a phenomenal song. And we get to the bridge where it says, if you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. And as we're singing that song, she passed away right there. And it was the biggest miracle I've ever witnessed. There was no physical healing. There was no mental healing. But there was like a earth and heaven touched. And I saw eternity for a moment. And there was joy in that moment. It wasn't a happy joy, but it was an assurance that there is something beyond what I see happening here. And I can trust God. And some of us this morning need to hold on to that truth for dear life, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we don't want to be weak. We want to be weak in God, but we want to let his joy be our strength, right? And so it says in Hebrews, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, for something beyond what he could see, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Who has grown weary and lost heart? You know, maybe it's over a relationship, or it's over a financial situation or a health situation you're in. But here's the thing. Heaven hasn't run out of strength, right? Jesus hasn't run out of strength. He has more strength than we could ever need stored up in heaven for us. God is yet to meet a problem he can't turn into an opportunity for his glory. And sometimes we don't always see what that opportunity is. Sometimes it's years later, but there is an opportunity that God is working on behind the scenes so he can roll that stone away in your life. And I want to speak hope, and I want to speak courage to you, because discouragement is when you run out of courage before the battle is over. And God doesn't want you discouraged this morning. He wants you to be filled with hope and courage. He's been turning problems into opportunities for a long time. Ask the blind man in the Bible, right? Ask Saul, who was turned to Paul. That's a big impossibility to possible. How about Hannah in the Old Testament? Or there's so many. If you need to be reminded and you need your faith built up, open up the Bible and read some Bible stories. It's not just for the kids' ministry. It's for us to be encouraged and built up. If the church is weary, it's because we've lost our joy, right? And sometimes it's okay to admit that. It's okay to admit, I'm feeling weak right now. But then we don't want to stop there. We want to then walk one more step and receive God in that moment. Amen? So the question is, how is God turning this problem into an opportunity for Jesus to move? And don't be this person when someone tells you their problem that you're like, it's an opportunity, and shove it in their face. Don't do that, right? Come alongside someone. Listen. Pray for them. Lift them up, right? Don't shove an opportunity in their face, but be praying for them to see the opportunity, right? All right, so we're down to the last letter is Y. Everyone say Y. It's your choice to choose joy. No one else can choose it for you. Joy is a decision of your will. It's not based on any situation, right? If joy is based on a situation, then your strength is based on the situation. That's a very dangerous place to be, right? In James, it says, consider it pure joy. And we've got a first martyr there, right? Philippians, it says, I will rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. These are things that were written in prison in the Bible. There's so many things written from prison. And we read them and we're like, oh, that's easy for them to say. And they're up in heaven like, excuse me? Really? We should talk when you get here, right? Somehow when we're going through a problem, we like to magnify it, right? But there's something funny when you're high up, when you're elevated, you start to see things in perspective. And even big mansions and even big mountains down on the ground look like little foothills from the very tippy top. And that's because we're elevated, we're seated with Christ. If our joy is dependent on our circumstances, then our strength is determined by our circumstances. That is such a dangerous place to be. And I know it's an easy place to get to, especially if you're struggling in an area in your life. Maybe it's an addiction, or maybe it's a health situation or a relational issue. But God wants to speak courage, and he wants to remind you, you are elevated in him, and you can get something from him that you can't get from anything else around you. So why don't you stand on your feet? There is never a convenient day to walk in radical joy. Even on my wedding day, Brian was recovering from this massive back injury, and I didn't know if he was going to be all mentally there, right? And that's supposed to be the easy joy day, right? And if you've ever gotten married, normally wedding days have all these weird things that happen, like he forgot our guest book, which we're still working through therapy on, but that's okay, right? There is never a convenient day to walk in radical joy, but we can't delay joy, because if we're delaying joy, we're delaying strength. And if we delay that, we're also delaying your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That prayer, we love to pray it, but when you look at it, it's righteousness and joy, right? Joy isn't circumstantial. Joy is perspective. Joy comes when we, number one is J, we join ourselves to God's truth and it sets us free. Number two is O, remember? See every opportunity for God to move. We are no longer victims. And number three, realize it's your choice. It's no one else's every day to walk elevated with Christ.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.